Thanks, Nathan. This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. We hope you're enjoying your summer because it will soon be over. One unequivocal sign, schools start back soon. Baltimore City Schools will welcome back its more than 80,000 students in less than 2 weeks on August 25th. And when the pupils arrive, there will be a new leader at North Avenue to greet them. New Baltimore City Schools CEO Gregory Thornton began work on July 1st, and he joins me now in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Well, great, and it's great to be in Baltimore.
You were superintendent of Milwaukee Public Schools for 4 years. Why did you decide to come to Baltimore?
It was a very hard decision. Milwaukee was a wonderful place that we had an opportunity to do some really great things for children and families. Baltimore created an opportunity to come home. In many ways, Maryland is one of my homes. I was actually partially reared on the shores of Maryland, and certainly the proximity to Philadelphia, where we still have family, was an opportunity, I think, to really position myself, certainly to do some great work, to continue the work that's been going on in Baltimore, as well as get a little closer to family.
You have been on the job 6 weeks.
Yes, ma'am.
What have been the biggest challenges so far?
Oh, getting to know the system. Certainly there's been a lot of great work that's happened. How do you continue to work? Beginning to take deep dives as to what's working, what's not working, what's been the impact of certainly the reforms that are in place, and really getting to know people. It's a community that's very interested and very focused around its children. So I've had a great opportunity to begin to build some relationships, certainly in our community, which I think are vital and create the sustainability that our children need to certainly be successful in school.
You brought your chief of staff with you from Milwaukee. Naomi,
yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm blanking on
Guru Nick, yes, I did.
But I pick up some concern about from some people that your whole cabinet is new, sort of all your deputies are new, and there's a lot of learning curve people feel. How do you deal with that?
We're about 50-50, and certainly there was a lot of institutional knowledge that certainly existed. So as we move forward, what we attempt to do is to get the right person in the right seat at the right time. So certainly there are new members of my cabinet that are new to Baltimore. We have a chief, human capital officer that we brought in from Baltimore County. We have a chief academic officer, which we brought in from the Boston area. And we have a chief financial officer, in which we brought in via Seattle, then Boston, and has done some great work around the country with Council Great City Schools. But then we thought we had a really great, talented chief informational officer. Certainly we retained that individual. We retained our chief operations officer. We retained a strong cabinet, tier two, what I would call executive directors at that level. So it's a blend. It's a family coming together to do really great things for the community.
I think there's a real hunger to know what your vision is. What changes should parents expect from you,
well,
CEO?
I would hope my vision is the same as theirs, is that we can position the young people to really do great things. You know, as a parent, I'm a grandparent, and I will tell you, I go to bed every night concerned, hoping that my little granddaughter and my children's hopes and dreams certainly come true, and my vision is no different than that. I think what they can expect is a relentless focus around student achievement. I think they can expect a relentless focus around rigor and a relentless focus around the fact that we're going to do everything possible to ensure that our youngsters that we are entrusted will have the opportunities that we would want all children to have in America.
You mentioned student achievement. As you know, there's a debate nationally as well as in Maryland about evaluating teachers. What are your views about what role test scores should play in evaluating teachers?
Well, accountability is certainly not a major driver, but I think accountability gives us an opportunity to identify challenges in which we have. Test scores certainly provide a direction, focus where we need to spend our energy. I'm a strong proponent that the real work begins in the classroom, and educator effectiveness is certainly the flavor of the month for us. That's where we're going. We need to be certain that the experiences that kids have, young people have with their teachers, is premier and it optimizes the learning environment. And certainly test scores certainly point to the fact whether we're making the grade. But I would go on and say that it's more than test scores. It's about the quality of life. It's around the experience and the relationships that I think develop between teachers and students. That's where the magic actually happens. But it's a blended approach to looking at holistic change for young people in classrooms around not just Baltimore, but around the world.
When you were named Baltimore City School CEO in February, we spoke with Erin Richards, education reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Here's part of what she told us.
One of his most appreciated improvements was trying to standardize the curriculum from school to school. Before Thornton took over, Milwaukee Public Schools was a more decentralized district.
I think that caught the ears of a lot of people here. She told us that you cut back on some of the autonomy that had existed in each school before you came to Milwaukee. And that sounds like the opposite course of what the Baltimore City Schools have been in. Your predecessor, Andres Alonso, gave a lot of authority to principals to make decisions about school budgets, curriculum, staff, et cetera. Will schools' autonomy change?
Potentially. I don't believe there's one way. I think each environment is different, and you have to assess where that particular organization is. I'm probably somewhere in the middle. It's a blended model. I believe all schools are not created equal. I believe all principals are not created equal. I believe all communities are not created equal. So what we have to do is to create supports that meet the needs of individual schools, principals, as well as children. So what you will probably see from us is really a big conversation moving forward around what I would call earned autonomy. I believe autonomy is not something that you give. I think it's something that you earn, and you do that by demonstrating great results for children. So what I would imagine, if I had a crystal ball, that you would look into at this time next year and you would see some schools that potentially will continue to have those types of authorities and that type of responsibility and that level of accountability. But there will be some schools that we will actually probably pull it in a little bit and attempt to really standardize opportunities for children. I have to position young people, no matter where they sit in the city, that they're going to have a quality educational experience. You know, as I go from school to school, there's a tremendous amount of variance that I see. With respect to opportunities, there's an issue with respect to equity. And as we move forward, I believe one way of doing that is through leadership. I believe leadership is one of the transformational agents for the future of public education. So we work very hard to try to get quality leaders, but I would suggest that you would see a blended model of certainly some things that folks will have a lot of autonomy with, and there are things that I think we could better do centrally. And then there will be a group of folks that have demonstrated that they can make magic happen in classrooms and make magic happen in schools and magic happen in communities. They will get that autonomy.
So tell me more about what the parameters will be that you'll be looking at to decide which schools you're going to rein in and which schools will continue.
We're early in the thinking right now, as you mentioned, we're only 6 weeks in, and you know, I'm still finding my way from school to school, and on most days I still get lost. But we're looking at both a quantitative perspective, looking at certainly, as you talked about, the accountability, looking at certainly hard data as to whether kids are making the performance targets that we want.
And then so test scores would be part of what you'd look at?
They would be one of the things.
But
everything's multiple indicators. The other is a qualitative look and the experience that young people experience in classrooms with respect to great instructional designs and at the schoolhouse, at the classroom level, the whole qualitative side with respect to parent involvement, you know, community support, and things of that nature. So what you attempt to do is to create some way in which you can merge the two to get a holistic view as to how school's doing, how fast is the school going, are they making the progress that as parents, as administrators, as the city would want to actually see happen. So with that, we would probably identify a group of schools that have done so. And I think they would create what I would call an autonomy zone. Autonomy zone for those folks to have space in which they can certainly do some of the creative work. As a principal, I'm a former principal, and I know the frustration sometimes in a franchise type of school with a franchise agenda. And there were many times I just wanted to do great things. And really
franchise tough. Agenda is
meaning
is
that
this
every
dispersed.
Everything,
autonomy?
Meaning this very, very centralized agenda.
Very centralized.
Franchise. In a franchise, everybody does things the same. And I always felt that, you know, I had great ideas and there were great opportunities I wanted to provide for my community and was unable to do so. And I believe there are principals who wake up every morning with the agenda on their mind is how can they make school exciting. And when you're totally franchised, when you're totally centralized, you miss that opportunity. So we want to certainly reward the folks who've done that and who have demonstrated that through the autonomy that's actually been given to all the schools in Baltimore. So we believe, as I believe, as we move forward, you'll begin to see a bifurcation of certainly some folks that have a more restrictive environment and more centralized environment versus those who have a greater degree of autonomy.
On WIPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with the new Baltimore City Public School CEO, Gregory Thornton. We're talking about his priorities for Baltimore school systems. Baltimore City is the only large district in Maryland that funds full-day pre-K. Is this an investment you plan to continue?
It's probably the best investment we can make. And what I know is a good start certainly creates the conditions for a great finish. And unfortunately, many of our young people, for whatever reasons and for a number of reasons, don't have the opportunity to have the supports early on and experiences. And we believe that an early childhood initiative certainly positions young people ready to learn.
So you'd like to expand pre-K?
I would expand
universal?
It to a universal program where every youngster has to be part of a pre-K opportunity, and really beginning to look at the research around three-year-olds. And, you know, I don't believe we can get them too early. And I would love to think in terms of what that would look like and how we could actually position a three-year-old initiative. You know, the world's changed from when I grew up. You know, my mother stayed home with me, and we did numbers and we did colors and all those kinds of things. But right now, the way I see many families, kind of two-income families just trying to make ends meet, and we want to be partners with those families and certainly and create a way in which those young folks can transition and make a great transition, and we want to support them as early as we can.
At the other end of the years, the Baltimore Sun's Erica Green reported over the weekend that a bigger percentage of Baltimore City school students, 46%, must take remedial courses when they get to college than any other school district in Maryland. How are you going to change that?
Well, I talked about the rigor, and we got to crank up the rigor. We got to crank up the experience in classrooms. We got to certainly, I think, do a more effective job in providing opportunities and access to really rigorous courses. One of our big initiatives is certainly around the whole issue of being college and career ready. And the way you do that is with classroom experiences, course experiences that allow our kids to be able to navigate tough work and to actually be able to navigate and move forward with respect to rigor and how that rigor plays out in standardized assessments that the colleges are looking to see as they move forward. One thing we're going to do very early on is really begin a strong relationship with our higher education partners to be certain that we're aligned and expectations are certainly driving right straight into our classrooms. But when we begin to take a look at things such as our PSAT platform, we're looking at our SAT platform, we got to certainly get more children involved to have access to those types of opportunities.
And what role do you think the core curriculum standards are going to play?
I think it's going to ratchet everything up. You know, for a very long time, as we have been very decentralized in what we've taught, we've been, I believe the core curriculum will begin to centralize. You know, what we've said about the core curriculum is that for the very first time, we're not trying to cover the waterfront. We're trying to go really deep in with our thinking to give young people the skills that's necessary to be investigative reporters, to be great, great thinkers, to be constantly querying and asking the tough questions and deepening their understanding and then translating that understanding to the complexities of their world so they can navigate that complicated classroom experience. So I'm a big fan of the core. I believe what's good for the best is good for the rest, and really wanting to go very deep as our youngsters not only are able to go through an algorithm, but understand what's behind the algorithm and the rationalization it takes to get there. Mathematics is going to become king. I mean, that's the champ. That's the champion. And what we're seeing now, the high correlations from kids being able to experience and navigate complicated mathematics formulas, complicated mathematical algorithms, I think is going to position them well as they begin to now move their way into higher education, whether it's higher education or to the world of work, that they can be positioned to hopefully kind of push back some of that the remediation that they've been having to take. We fail kids if we continue to educate them for 12 years and they have to take a remedial course in order to actually get into higher education or just the world of work to get a credential. So we need to drive heavily, have a lot of our focus certainly is around the whole issue of high school reform. But high school reform doesn't just start at high school. You got to back that right straight in elementary school and then build upon prior knowledge and allowing that prior knowledge to drive where we are as an organization.
This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with the new Baltimore City Public Schools CEO, Gregory Thornton. Absenteeism has been an issue that the district has struggled with. What initiatives should we expect to see from you to keep kids in class?
Well, one of the big pieces for us is really trying to build strong partnerships with family and community. I believe education is everybody's business. It's just not Baltimore City. It's all of us. It's from our clergy community to our elected community to our parents. And I believe when we begin to create a wraparound support for kids, we're going to see differences there. So we will open up conversation with ways in which we can support parents to get kids to school on a daily basis. Then I got to create a situation. We got to create a situation when they get there, something exciting to do where kids wake up in the morning and say, I can't wait to get there. So we got to make schools interesting. We got to make schools appealing. Yeah. See, I see my young people as my clients, and I got a client base that I got to meet their needs. So one way is certainly not only getting them there, but having something for them to come to that they wake up in the morning, they're excited about being there.
Right. But I assume Baltimore City Public Schools have been trying to get
sure.
that excitement going and to have those bonds with parents.
Sure.
What strikes you as something that you can do that will make it more real?
Well, it's twofold. One, certainly to build on the things that have been done. Certainly beginning to have those types of conversation with parents. Certainly around creating the ways in which our classrooms become the place where the children perceive them as exciting and value added. I must believe that if children are happy about coming to school, they're excited about coming to school, they're going to come. I got to believe that parents are engaged in the process and help us with a sense of shared accountability around making certain that they're there, they're going to come. So we're certainly not going to do anything magical. We're going to do really good, hard work of getting to know parents a little better, getting and listening to children. You know, one of the things we're going to do very early on is a listening tour where I'm going to actually spend time talking with our young people and at the high school level, because that's where the challenge is. Our high school's aggregate attendance falls into the 80s. Our system is slipped a little bit last year. It actually fell back in the 80s. But our elementary school attendance, it's okay. It's not great. So one of the things, when you have a concern, you got to involve the people who are directly affected by the challenge. And so the way you do that is you sit and you have conversations with them. So I think we've done a really great job, an okay job, and we're going to do a great job with working with parents. We're going to do a great job working with staff and trying to create exciting opportunities that folks want to be a part of. Now I got to listen to the young people and find out what's in the way, and certainly work very hard and aggressively to create the schools that they want us to have.
The Baltimore Sun also reported yesterday that with less than 2 weeks before the school starts, City Schools still needs to fill 211 teacher vacancies. High need areas, science, math, special education. What's causing this problem?
A couple of things. One, there are high need areas around the country, and we're all pulling for the same individuals to actually be in our classrooms. For us, one of the things that we will begin to look at more aggressively is that we won't move to our hiring season. And most organizations kind of get cranked up for hiring sometime in the late spring. We're going to have to be on a hiring campaign year-round. We will begin. We'll never stop. We'll always be looking for talent and ways in which we can bring certainly talent to our city. I believe we have a lot to offer as a city. We have an exciting school district that's doing some very exciting things. The challenge that we face is that it was structurally, going back to a conversation we had earlier where principals had a lot more control over the hiring. Well, in that, they had an opportunity to actually make changes and actually change the staffing configuration. And when you had that type of autonomy, which allows principals to do those things at the schoolhouse, it has impact centrally. And so it's always a point in time, meaning that on any given day, we had a system where principals could actually rethink, reprogram classrooms, meaning that if a principal felt that just due to way the population trends were coming into the building, could certainly say instead of having two third grade classrooms, I'm going to have four classrooms, and you create two new positions if the money was in the budget. We're going to hopefully try to create a way in which we can have better communication to allow us to actually kind of lock down on a salary structure, on a teacher structure with respect to how those buildings will be staffed, and then structure to that, and then make a mid-course correction in September after the youngsters arrive. But we are confident that we won't be at 200, but won't be where I need to be. I mean, I certainly can suggest to you as I go into next year with our initiatives, both a strong recruitment, not only locally but nationally, and we're going to be better positioned. But we're always going to struggle for the math and science. That's kind of the thing that's driving the whole STEM initiative across America.
We have just a minute left, and I want to raise quickly with you. You arrive as Baltimore has secured $1.1 billion in school construction money from this state, a huge opportunity to shape physically how kids learn. How are you going to approach that?
Oh, enthusiastically. I think it's one of the greatest opportunities that's probably been presented to the city in a very, very long time. We see it. I see it as more than just new facilities. I see it as an opportunity for transformation in communities throughout our city. It's an opportunity to really reengage. It's a call to action for us to get parents involved in the educational process, and we're doing that. We're meeting in communities throughout our city and having conversation and really beginning to focus on the visions and hopes that parents have. We see it as a way to begin to drive curriculum in classrooms. We see it as a way to begin to even think in terms of a residual effect with respect to jobs. I mean, we see this as certainly our big, big renaissance opportunity here in the city.
And we hope you'll come back and talk to us about it again. Thank you so much for coming in.
I look forward to it. Thank you very much for having me.
Gregory Thornton, new CEO of Baltimore City Public Schools. More information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass. There's more ahead. Stay with us on 88.1.